Welcome to the Merchant Princelings Podcast.
Welcome to episode 52 of the Merchant Princelings Podcast.
What makes you right?
Joe, you're a piece of trash. Yeah. That was... I've lost it now. I'm out. I'm done, boys.
I was literally just here to thrust Banner in the works.
52nd of her name.
Long may she reign. Yeah.
I'll be your host this evening, Tom
may
Sargent.
She reign.
And I'm joined by the very musical Giles King. Say hello, Giles.
Hello, everybody.
And the ever diligent Will Henry. Say hello, Will.
Stalwart, I like to go by.
That is actually the word I was looking for. That is actually the word I was trying to find. I couldn't find it. I went with diligent for some reason.
Dylan, you son of a bitch. What's a guan, rude boys and girls and thems? How are we all?
It's been so long. It's been 3 weeks.
It can't have been 3 weeks.
In a while.
It's been 3 weeks. It's been so long because there was a week where something happened with my life and I couldn't make it. And
then, life happens. And then
Giles was on holiday for 80 years.
There was some general... procrastination in there as well.
Now
we're back and badder.
We got lots to talk about ish.
Kind of.
And that's fine. We've got the Exeter Zone Mortalis event.
Orphan's Hope Part 3. Yeah.
Part 3 to talk about, which only Will attended. So we're back on form. Of Will playing 1,000 games of Heresy while me and Giles are like, I really like
Yeebosh.
It.
We should go back to the format of getting people that went to the event with me to come on.
Yeah, but people complained because people found that those people were more engaging than me and Giles. And then they go off and set their
own podcast. I can understand you, Tom, but both of us a shot at Fuller, sorry. Multiple people. John Rob.
Yeah, Pete.
Did you Pete on?
Yeah.
So
Pete was on. Pete was on one of the lost episodes.
Pete was on one of the lost episodes, he was, isn't it? He did
funny that he started a podcast called Lost Legions.
He did the terrible audio where we doxed a guy.
Oh yeah. Shit in the bush. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
The shitting in the bush is one of my favourite stories.
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it?
Tell the story.
We'll tell it when we're back on schedule.
Okay. So, in terms of Heresy updates, there isn't many. There's a few that we'll talk about a little bit. And then we'll talk about what we've been up to, and then we're going to have a new... Actually, we used to do it when I used to record all this on my phone and edit it on my phone. We did used to have a little break.
We had a little drum solo, didn't we?
We had the little we had the little drum solo, which is still saved on my thing. And that was when we went and made tea, because when we first started, it was autumn, and it was like definitely still having a tea at 10 o'clock at night type things.
Standard procedure.
So yeah.
Oh, wait, when did we start? How old are we now? A year? Year and a bit? Year and a squiz?
We're approaching 2 years.
Yeah, we're over a year. We're up nearly 2 years, mate. Yeah.
Shut
we're over 18
two
months.
Years.
Yeah. Which is crazy because this is 50. I'll have a look. I'll have a look while I'm live.
While we're here,
early November 2021.
Yeah, it's got to be that, isn't it?
Can just log into my Spotify account. Oh, it was 3 days before my birthday, 11th of November.
How did you manage to find that so fucking fast? Yeah, was it
2021?
11th of November, 2021.
3 days! So that was 3 days before I was expulsed? Pushed out of a birthing canal.
Hang on, but
how fucking weird is that?
That's, we're not quite 2 years away, right?
I think we nearly are 2 years away, yeah.
Right,
2 years in November.
We've done 52 episodes. There's 52 weeks in a year. So that's 104 weeks. We haven't done an episode nearly every week, every other week.
We have. We have a 3 week break and then we release four episodes in a row.
Right.
And 3 weeks, don't we? Because we're flaky mother truckers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, to be fair, 52 episodes in 18 months isn't bad, is it?
Not bad at all. How many did Gino release? Have we overtaken that?
Fuck Gino. No one even remembers who they are.
Stu and Stallard.
Yeah. I would like to put. I'd like to put a knife in the back of that comment now, immediately. done. Yeah. We move.
We move. Right, so guys, what have you been up to in terms of your hobby? And why don't we lead with Will, because Will is actually struggling with an unknown substance abuse.
So last episode, he was spraying super glue accelerant round.
That's true.
It's live as well. Live. Yeah.
This week, new glue on the scene. Hit us up, you little addicts.
Right, so I don't know how long I've been playing Warhammer 4 since I got back into it, which if you tune into episode 50, you can hear all about how we got back into the motherfucking game, or into the game, or whatever it was. But yeah, so I've never used plastic glue. Today, after I dropped my nail gun off for service, I went to Hobbycraft. Quite like a bit of Hobbycraft. It's yeah, quite cool.
Decent in there, yeah.
I finally decided to commit to some plastic glue, because I've only ever used super glue up until now.
I feel like you're going to get some serious internet hype about this.
How did you build chatter, like Betrayal at Kalth and Prospero and stuff with super glue?
Didn't buy either, mate.
What?
Hey, do you send them to other people to build for you?
No, I just never bought them because I had all the resin already.
Are you telling me 30,000 points of Salamanders, X amount of points of Raven Guard, X amount of points of Iron Hands, and none of it is plastic?
No, there's a fair amount of plastic in it, but there's no plastic glue in any of it. It's all super glue. Yeah, there isn't a lot of plastic in all of it, actually, come to think of it. Because, yeah, like the Raven Guard are all... They're all pre-Mark 6, so they're all resin.
Yeah.
Mark 4 to start with of the Salamanders, and that was all resin. And
this is wild. This is wigging me out. This is
all the Iron Hands.
Off your chops, son.
Are just Iron Hand, tactical board kits
that I've had
to suck, fuck, and blow to get from Heresy Trading and wherever. So that's all resin.
Yeah.
I probably depleted the stocks of Forge World numerous times, buying like six at a time.
Yeah.
Got some third party legs from Cromlech, I think, and some torso. I have got fuck all plastic in my entire collection. Which is, now you've said it.
Who built your Kratos?
That's plastic. I built that, yeah. With super glue.
You built a tank with super glue? Are you joking?
But everything was super glue. Like, why would you use... So, actually, saying this now.
There we go.
Feel me with this, yeah. My thought process was, if you use plastic glue and you drop it...
Yeah,
you're a bitch.
It'll just break, but not on the joints. But if you use super glue and drop it, it'll just snap off on the joints. So you get less breakages and more snappages. Bounce? Tanks don't bounce.
Well, I don't know. My armoured company bounced off of quite a few people's armies.
Yeah, to be fair, I just dropped this rhino and it bounced about an inch and a half upwards, so you're probably not wrong.
Fuck's sake.
I mean, this is wild, honestly. This is just insanity. I can't...
Do you want to hear the real amazing statistic about the whole thing?
Yeah.
I would never have changed from super glue if I didn't buy this bolt action starter set.
So why haven't you not assembled bolt action with super glue? Because I'm going to be honest, right? There's more metal and other dog shit in bolt action models than there is in Heresy. So
also, the models are like half the size. So I thought super glue would be a lot more work on really small kits. I thought plastic would be better. And
more... gluing fingers together.
Yeah, and Harry said exactly what you said on the weekend. He was like, how have you never used fucking plastic glue? So
really good Harry impression.
You've
got the old lady and posh boy mix.
Not quite enough Jewishness in there, though.
I didn't want to say that.
I mean, I am part Jewish, so it's fine.
Mm. Oh, so we're covering the spectrum, so it's fine. Yeah, so... That's quite an exciting turn of events in Williams. Also, I was in the charity shop a couple of weeks ago. It was last week, actually.
Oh, yeah. I love the charity shop.
It's great, isn't it? You always get just interesting selections. They had Con Air on VHS. Not going to lie, almost bought it.
Why didn't you buy it?
Well, the problem is I haven't even got a VHS player, so I'd have it but not be able to watch it. But thinking about that now, I could buy it.
What? Will, I'm out.
I'm gonna get told off now.
See you later, Will.
See you later, Thomas. Love to speak to you, Charles.
Should we start this back up with like Matt Burney or something? Because
I think we have to.
Because Matt Burney knows what fucking Con Air is. He's gonna save the fucking.
Scooby, what you're talking about?
Anyway, Will, carry on your Con Air VHS story.
What I could do is I could buy the Con H VHS, yeah?
Yeah.
Throw away the VHS because there's no way to watch it and just keep the box and use that as like a box to carry dice in.
Yeah, great trade.
People would be like, this man's obviously understands high quality television and film.
And then you open it up and it's Iron Hands dice.
And they're like, what can't? So.
Well, yeah, I'm out. My sister literally this week found in our my mum's storage loads of our old family videos. They're all on VHS. So she went and bought a VHS player off of Buy Swap and Sell.
I guess it was like free, right?
And because she was like, oh, there's loads of like family, like Christmas holidays and stuff like that. You know, I want to see what it is. And she loaded this one up that's got like Christmas holidays 1999 written on it, right? And it's literally just the EastEnders Christmas special.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Is that the one where Martin Kemp killed Saskia with the ashtray?
It's one of those ones, right? It's one of the ones where there's like a classic murder. Yeah,
Martin Kemp. I feel like we're confused.
It's Martin Kemp, right?
Wasn't he in...
Spandau Ballet.
Yeah, Spandau Ballet.
Was he in EastEnders as well?
He was one of the best in EastEnders. Are you joking?
I thought that was Ross Kemp.
And he framed Matthew Rose as well.
Yeah. Ross Kemp was in it, mate. Ross Kemp was a Mitchell brother. Ah. Grant Mitchell. The OG.
One and only.
Yeah, man.
I'm obviously getting people confused. I'm very sorry.
I mean, you've already let yourself down already enough.
Yeah, I mean, fuck off.
Shut your fucking mouth if I was you talking about.
Shut your pie hole.
Let's chat about your sister some more.
I was talking to my sister today about the wedding reception, right? And because she was like, your lot are not going to dance. Whereas Laura's lot are definitely going to dance. Like, all of Laura's friends are really...
I love a boogie. Ollie's going to dance.
That sort of person, right?
Ollie's a good dancer as well. And I was classically trained by him. Yeah.
None of my mates are going to get up and dance, apart from Giles. I can tell, I know he's not driving, but if he can convince Frank to drive, and Giles does get a bevy in him, it's game over for you bitches.
Yeah, there's going to be some serious slut drops.
Yeah. Well, as long as you don't flirt with my sister too hard that it, like, you know, creates an EastEnders Christmas special level drama.
Then it's all going to be okay.
I think it'll be alright, yeah. Because, like, her boyfriend is attending, so, like, you know.
He's obviously not seen me.
That's true. He hasn't experienced the magnitude.
The Giles, yeah. Oh, God. Well, what a strange conversation.
Dreams can come true.
This all came from plastic glue, so...
No, this all, partially as well. But so I went into a tiger shop.
You went into a tiger shop.
I got tiger blood in my veins.
I was banging 7 grand rocks. Went into a charity shop and Con Air was on sale in VHS, which I almost bought. But there was also, and I'm holding them in my hands now. I've got an Airfix Tiger One tank for £6.
Wow.
Bargain. I got some Africa Corps Airfix as well. So some, I presume, Marines with, well, no. Are they Marines? No, they're probably not, are they? They probably don't have the nuance of two hearts being 8 foot tall, three lungs, and having rapid fire bolt guns.
Definitely don't spit acid.
No, they haven't got, they can't eat someone else's brains and remember their life.
Yeah. But they were only £3, which is pretty cool. And it was a sealed box as well, which is even cooler.
Have you ventured down, but this is probably an obvious question, right? But have you ventured down the rabbit hole of the Night Shift?
The Night Shift? No, I haven't, no.
Oh my fucking God. Right, okay. Well, Will, everyone else knows. It's only you that doesn't know. When you get off of this podcast, you need to go and find on YouTube Night Shift. I think he is like a Polish YouTuber or something, an Eastern European guy who basically just does tank painting, like World War II Tamiya scale tanks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like where he picks like a tank up for like a Tamiya kit, and he's like, this is in no way good enough for me to make a model out of. So he will buy like third party extras where he's like, well, rather than have this plastic little tool clamp that's crap and really badly molded, he'll go and get some like etched brass tool clamps and make sure that everything is scale. He like fucks the fenders up to make it look like reference artwork. He mixes the plastic glue that you're using, like Tamiya plastic glue, with sprue to make
correct it. I mean, Revel contact a professional,
that's because something like that, right?
Right.
And he mixes it with like a plastic putty, which is basically just like a squidgy sprue, same material, and then makes this like this texture paint, and then he stipples it onto all the cast steel so it looks like cast steel, and he will like sculpt on weld beads with green stuff around every hatch and everything. It's amazing. It's one of those things where I can just watch it for hours and hours and hours because they're so good. They're about half an hour, 40 minutes an episode or whatever, but
sounds wizard.
They're literally great. But whenever I watch them, then I go into Hobbycraft and I see like a Tamiya bloody Sherman tank in some silly scale, and I'm like, I just want to pour my life into that tank because I feel like it would be worth it, you know. I mean, it wouldn't, but
probably would.
Maybe it would, yeah. Anyway, long story short, you're using plastic glue.
You're using plastic glue, giving up heresy, gonna start playing bow action.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how long this all lasts, shall we?
Yeah, it's true. I do have the Japanese, so I've got the Banzai! Box set, which is pretty wizard.
Sweet, being racist. Sweet.
Goddamn Mongolians, break down my shitty war for the last time.
My shitty walk.
Shitty walk, take your water, please.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I have been building some more rhino. As we speak, I'm building a rhino for the Emperor's Children.
Yeah, now this is hot.
This needs a discussion.
Tell us about the Emperor's Children. What's the rough list? What's the theme? I think I'm right in saying and sort of giving a spoiler alert that they're loyalist.
You got it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So to tell me all about it, who's going to lead it, what sort of points you're going for, what sort of scheme you're going for, tell me everything.
So my problem, I think, up until now is that when I've decided to do a second army, I've just gone at 1,000 miles per hour and committed my pension into it.
Which is why
I'm sitting on 50k of Legion forces that I intend to never use again. Sure. So what I've decided going forward, I'm just going to do an allied detachment, a 3k max allied detachment.
Maximum
3k. I think this ties as well into what Rob is doing with his. So he's got his two or three main forces that he's had over the years and stuff, and he's just going to work out 1,500 point, 1,000, whatever, X amount of points allied detachments, and I'm going to do the same, but I'm going to do it primarily on Manhands and their Swarm Brothers, and then probably one or two extras as well.
Great place to start.
So got the mech, which Harry has done for me, which is perfect. The Raven Guard that I'm working on for myself, which is just going to be fun and just soul destroying at the same time, which is fine. Yeah. And then the Emperor's Children are the next logical one to come from that, because they're also Swarm Brothers, but they're going to be loyalist.
Yeah.
So
are you playing, is a headcanon there Great Crusade era?
I think that's the plan, but the way I'll probably shoehorn the lore in my head when I'm playing at events and stuff is that they are a leftover battalion detachment company to fortify position the perfect castle or whatever it was.
And
the Iron Hands have come along and been like, oh, you fucking shit cunts, and they've just worked out that they're actually just family. So obviously the bonds of brotherhood run deep, and they all have a barbecue and share a Corona, and then they decide to come and fight for the Iron Hands. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do essentially two allied detachments. So I'm going to have a like a drop assault vanguard detachment.
Oh, lovely.
I think one thing that this is something that you and I talked about, and Harry and I talked about as well, I think one of the things that my Iron Hands lack in general is they lack the assault phase game.
Right, okay.
So the whole plan is I'm going to use these guys to be my
assault phase.
exactly have it so I can play in all three phases of the games.
This is something we've discussed at length, right? This is exactly. how you engage in a game, right? Is it you make an army of like models that you like, lore that you like, theme that you like, or whatever. You play it, you know, to your heart's content. But then you will slowly realize there's a phase you're not contributing in. And then that phase is what you invest in with things like your allied detachment and whatever else, yeah.
Which is perfect, yeah. So, because I could just do like an Iron Hand jump command squad, which would obviously be really good because they're Iron Hands.
They're Iron Hands, yeah.
At the same time, let's do something a bit different. Let's try something different and try some new flavour as well. Yeah. So, yeah, this is going to be that. Yeah, so I'm going to have a Praetor in a with a jump pack in a 9 or 10 man command squad, whatever it is, all with jump packs.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have 10 Palatine Blades with jump packs and 15 Assault Marines with jump packs. And that's just going to be an allied detachment that I might start on the board, but I'd like to just learn how to like strike and such. And because they're Swarm Brothers, I can have an Iron Hand Master of Signal that can reroll the reserves. I can have Voxes to minimise the scatter. All that's
which you need, right? But that is even to my completely, you know, novice sort of never thinks about strength. Only ever thinks about being an idiot. But you know, that is ideal. You know, that is layering on your synergies. To make the best of it. And even if you take, you know, Assault Marines, widely considered crap, but if you can make them a bit better by doing things like that, why would you not, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think as well, I think because the Iron Hands are a shooting legion, but they're not a shooting legion, which is the strange thing about it. I think they can probably have 2K on the board and hold up against a 3K shooting or whatever it is.
Right.
And bide their time until the Vanguard comes.
Yeah.
So I think the synergy between them would actually work quite well, and the fact that they can land and Emperor's Children get +1 initiative when they charge, which is fucking crazy. So all those Assault Marines, when they charge, granted they are just basic bitch Assault Marines, but they go first, which is
but they're better than someone else's huge. Basic bitch Marines.
Exactly, yeah, which is absolutely huge. And then the command squad, then the Praetor as an example, if he's got a Power Fist or a Thunder Hammer, I suppose, anything that's initiative 1, he goes at initiative 2, which is absolutely crazy.
That is such an underutilized rule.
It's absolutely huge.
Emperor's Children are right up there as one of the legions that I see and hear about the least.
Yeah, right. They are still underrepresented in this game, which is
criminal.
It's crazy because when I went to Actium very briefly, part 3 on Sunday, and
which we'll talk more about in a bit,
of course, and powerful big Phil was there, he's got his Emperor's Children, which are no shit. Like, they are the benchmark to measure Emperor's Children off. I think they are his and Ollie's. Different schemes are just so fucking good. Just seeing them and chatting to him briefly for like 5-10 or whatever it was. I was nursing a semi. I was like, oh my god, like this is like it was absolutely amazing.
I think I can picture you making those whooping noises as you go as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Literally. Yeah,
yippee! Yeah. As he's walking away. I mean, I've never met him. I don't think. I think I've been at events with him, but I don't think I've ever met him. I might be wrong. I tend to be wrong on these things. But seeing when you see his army and stuff, like when John put a thing up on Instagram about it, you just think, bloody hell, like this is exactly what it should be. You know, it's so
pure love as well for it, and as humble as they come. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you probably ask him anything.
Yeah,
and he'd be like, I did this, and this, which is,
I mean, that's just Heresy players. You know what I mean? That is a real strength of Heresy players. You know,
So I'm gonna have that like drop assault handgun essentially, and then I'm also gonna have an armored kind of spearhead detachment as well. So that will be a Praetor with a command squad in a Proteus, then 10 Palatine blades in a heavy support Proteus. On foot, obviously, and then 10 Inducti in a Rhino, and then 10 Despoilers in a Rhino as well.
So, oh, wow, okay, Despoilers in a Rhino.
Hot.
And then I'll probably get Saul as well, because I just... Because he's just a boy, isn't he?
If you're going to do Loyalist Emperor's Children, it's an excuse to take him, right? Surely.
Yeah. And then as well, I think that's probably about 3K, both of those forces combined anyway.
Yeah.
if I ever wanted to play just pure Emperor's Children, I've probably got about 3k there. Granted, I'll have 3 Masters of the Legion, which is pretty hilarious, but it'll be great nonetheless. It'll be awesome. Yeah.
It'll be an experience.
Exactly. So that's the plan. But yeah, besides that, hobby's been standard. I'm trying kind of mustering up the courage to get back on this Raven Guard hype, which was obviously dulled a bit after prior to Orthanc's Hope Part 3. Mm. And I just need to just power through. I need to just mash it. Just need to keep mashing it, and
What's the hold up? Is it just that they don't perform very well in Zomortalis, or you know?
Well, the list I built just doesn't work in ZM anymore, right? Is the interesting thing about it. Right.
You built the list pre Siege of Chthonia, started painting it, then Siege of Chthonia came out, changed everything. Is that the timeline? Okay.
Yeah. Because I was super hyped for this as being like a little ZM force for Orthanc's Hope and so on and so forth. And then obviously Orthanc's Hope, well, sorry, Siege of
Chthonia.
Siege of the Sons of Horus Homeworld happened. And kind of just muted my boner a bit for it, which is kind of upsetting, but at the same time, that's just the nature of the beast sometimes, isn't it? So.
Yeah. Well, it happened. I mean, I had the same with the FAQ for 40k this week.
If you were hard all the time, pass out.
That's true.
Yeah, so I just need to keep mashing it. Eventually there'll be some seepage of some liquid and it'll be fine. Do you know what I mean? I'll just
out of that liquid will crawl 1,500 points of Raven Guard.
The Raven Guard are still very hot, right? So
the hottest,
Giles. That's fucking mental in this new edition when they probably aren't in. With that list you made, probably not in ZM, but that will see well over. I have full faith.
Yeah. But as far as the internet's concerned, Trash Legion. So, possible, innit? Like,
are they Trash Legion?
Nah. What everyone says.
I mean, I've played Mark twice, dogs, 3 times now. They're slags to a man.
Yeah, they're absolute slutty sluts, which is what you want. So
All day long.
100%.
Nothing
but easy pickings. Do you know what I mean? No reservation when you start pushing it in. It's just perfect.
Yeah. If anything, they're being a bit coy, you know.
Essentially, yeah.
Perfect. Giles, what have you been up to since you've been on holiday or got back from holiday?
Oh boy. What have I been doing? Can't remember where I was at when we last recorded, but a good Dark Angels based update. So I've got 22 tank marines done because I painted too many of them, so now I'm going to pretend it was fully planned and that I have
options
for when I don't want to run a sergeant of a power fist or a vexilla. I've just got 2 standing people.
Perfect.
And I'll pick a suitable
person. That was a great plan.
I thought that through all by myself. It definitely wasn't Harry's suggestion when I realised that I couldn't count.
Can't be Harry's suggestion. Can't be giving him any credit.
Fuck that guy. And then, so, where are we at? Yeah, 22 Tank Marines. I've got 10 in Ducktie, which sans charges, but are ready to go apart from that.
Where are the charges?
They're in the post, as we speak. They're in the post. They're on the way. Mr. Collins just sorted me out, you know what I mean? They're on
old
the way.
DC. Buzzing.
DC.
Old DC.
So that is very generous, great news.
Collister.
Gonna bosh them onto these Inducti. So then I've got 3 troops choices there. Ready for action. Currently working on 5 Cenobium. Since my return from holiday, I've started the Cenobium. It's been slow progress, been a busy boy, got lots going on, got 2 pretty chunky uni assignments that need to get done. Progress is slow, but it is happening. So I'm hoping this evening I would have base coated at least 1 of the silvers on all 5 of them, plus a generic Cataphracti character to lead them, because I need to get a little playable force going. I want to bosh them on some tabletops.
You have a date to work towards, which is always good.
I do. I need to get 1,000 points painted by them, which is in, 2 weeks? 2 weeks Sunday.
Weekend after next. 2 weeks Sunday.
So, it's going to be done. Whilst I was away, Heresy was not left behind. I did get some reading done. So I read through Descent of Angels again, which is, I think, the second time, second or third time I've read it. First time, I had no intention of collecting Dark Angels. I was still building Ultramarines at the time. I was like, what the fuck is this book? It's just talking about two little kids becoming Space Marines. What's going on here? Listen to it on Audible after having a DA-based boner, and I was like, I actually quite enjoy this book. It's quite good. Then reading,
do you think it's one of them books that works better as an Audible?
I don't know, because this time reading it, having an understanding of what happens in the rest of the story, why this is actually a really good starting point for where the Dark Angels end up in Heresy lore. Maybe it's just because I'm my current huge boner, Legion. But I actually thought to myself, this is one of few Heresy books that creates, you look as a Space Marine as more than just a gun pig, because you meet the two main protagonists when they're seven, and they're going into training with the
Zahariel
Order.
And
Zahariel and Nemiel.
And
I was like, this is actually... Then I went on to Fallen Angels. So I got probably three quarters of the way through that one on holiday, so I need to finish that off.
I like Fallen Angels. It got a lot of slack even at the it got a lot of flack even at the time. But I must admit that even at the time, I really enjoyed Fallen Angels. It didn't give me a boner to go and do Dark Angels straight away, but it certainly did give me the hit of Heresy, because it was some bolt of porn, and it was some political intrigue, and it was some Primarch
You've got the line in there. You've got Luther maneuvering. You've got the separatist rebels. It's just the Dark Angels is so
first appearance, which is pretty cool.
That's true.
There's Dark Angels are so political. I think if you look at all of the Dark Angels books as a body of work, so for example, Fallen Angel, A Descent of Angels, Fallen Angels, Angels of Caliban, Luther, The Lion Book. I think all those books do something slightly different. Angels of Caliban is my least favourite, just because Imperium Secundus does nothing for me.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think it's actually better. It's a better Conrad Kerr's book than it is a Lion book, which is weird.
I'd agree on that one.
Same as Unremembered Empire. Lloyd's a huge Kurz fan. Like, his favourite thing is the Kurz Primarch novel. And then we were talking, I was like, but surely you love Unremembered Empire, because that's probably the best Kurz book. And he's like, I've no idea what you're talking about.
Kurz is in Unremembered Empire.
So I was like, actually, I feel like Descent of Angels lures you in, develops an emotional... not necessarily an emotional attack, but you gain an attachment to the characters, because they aren't just gun pigs.
Yeah.
And then you've got two characters that you're invested in on different sides of the Legion, and you see their Dark Angels progression from the first Legion led by the Lion, Old Glorious Times, what happens on Soroshi, whatever it's called, Luther's little accident, and then being twisted by really knowing Caliban and the people around him. I mean, this is actually quite, like, it really does draw you in. I feel like the first time I read it, didn't really understand the Dark Angel story arc. I was like, that was when I still had, because this was probably 2018 maybe, when I first read it, I think that sounds about right. I was still like, Dark Angel's half traitor, and didn't understand the deep nuances to the situation. Interesting.
It's been
very interesting.
It's great to go back.
I think it's aged well
as well. Yeah. It's definitely aged well.
I can see when it first came out, and it was book 11, the first Dark Angels book, and I could see why people would be like, "This isn't what I wanted." But now you can read it as part one of a trilogy and a grouping of six or seven books. I think it is actually really good. Big up Michael Scanlon. Did he write the second one as well? No, Fallen Angels was Mike Lee. So yeah, read both of those on holiday. Some pages of Descent of Angels did fall out, which was suboptimal. I think it's just a nothing, some super glue, so it can't fix. I like this book. It was $6.99. Says on the back.
Wow.
Is there? Do they say what year they were printed on them? In the, is there a way to work it out?
On the inside, for a couple of pages, it will say when that was printed. Yeah, yeah, should do.
Should do.
Let's have a little look. Games Workshop product code.
I bet, no. I bet it's like 2014 or something like that.
Codes. Loyalty and Honor. Black Library. Oh, here we go. This looks promising. First published in Great Britain in 2007.
What?
Wow. Oh, is that all Black Library?
I was 7 years out. That's crazy, isn't it? 2007. Fuck me. I was at uni.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Might be. That might be.
Oh, yeah, I think that sounds about right.
So yeah, this book is what that would make it 16 years old.
Jesus.
Surely not. Anyway, yeah, Descent of Angels, pretty good on reread. As for actual hobby, yes, currently trying to work in Synobium. They are the most detailed models ever, and I think it's going to take longer to paint 5 Synobium than it did to paint 15 Tac Marines.
Without
but normally, squad of 5 Terminators, you just fucking smash them out, no problem. But these boys, there's going to be 3 different silvers at least, gold, loads of like a reasonable amount of cloth. It's a 2 faces I've got to paint, one on the sergeant, one on the character. I'm going to do some kind of power weapon effects on them. Like they've got books, they've got all kinds of random insignia. I need to work out how to paint those. Cables. Be a busy boy, boys. Gonna be a busy boy.
Yeah, they're I remember when Rob was first painting them, Rob was like, fucking hell, this is next level, like, amount of shit to paint on these models.
Yeah, and it turns out he was absolutely right.
Yeah.
But I do really like them, and I also really like how fucking massive they are. They are properly Mark 6 scale chonky boys, which I'm a big fan of.
Mm.
Big lads. Because I made all of my Mark 4 in the Tac Marines slightly taller, just with a little blob of green stuff in the waist and underneath the helmet. And then on, I'd say about 50% of their bases, there's 1mm plaster card, kind of where the feet are in like a stripe or a circle or something.
Just
to raise them up a little bit, yeah. So, yeah, so most of this, instead of being like 2 or 3 mils smaller, they're half a millimetre smaller than the Mark 6. They're not quite obviously as bulky, but the height is less noticeable because I knew I was going to have to do mixed squads most likely. So yeah, that's been what I've been up to. I've also got a real hankering to paint some more elves, but I just don't have the time right now. So as much as I love looking at pictures of high elves on Instagram right now, don't have the time to commit to boshing out 20 Sea Guard, so it's just gonna have to wait.
Mm. Heresy train hath no breaks.
Exactly. I need to get these boys going. I want to play with them.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I had to play some on the weekend, and they are motherfuckers.
Yeah, they're cool. They're cool. Cool legion to play for sure.
Oh yeah, I've been chatting to Dom almost every day, just about Archangel based boners, and it's been fucking great.
If there's any man that should get you frothing and hard at the same time about Dark Angel.
Oh yeah.
Probably that guy.
That guy.
Yeah. Good. Oh yeah. Marvellous.
That's just what I've been up to.
D-Dog, what are you saying?
Well, then. Listeners will be glad to hear I haven't switched armies since the last 3 weeks of another.
Wow! So, reset the clock. No, wait, don't reset the clock. Wow.
No, keep that fucker ticking.
I just went into auto mode of reset the clock.
I don't know where we were the last time I recorded, really, but I've got these
from the back of attrition, so you probably binned off.
So I think I was binning off the Ultramarines when we recorded. Since then I have picked up some Blood Angels and, you know, really sort of thought about the scheme, had a lot of help from really good people like Stevie.
It sounds like you've been doing them a lot slower than you have with previous stuff.
Properly slow. Yeah. The tactical Marines
actually healthier in a weird kind of way.
Well, life is just kicking me in the dick on a daily basis for for busyness at the moment, especially with the wedding like imminent. So I just have no time. And the commission business is going reasonably well, and it's keeping me kind of ticking over, which is lovely. But
and Tom, should building commission. How might they go about doing so?
Well, if you would like me to build your plastic kits for you, I think I am going to predominantly keep them plastic going forward, or just resin infantry. I've had to turn down a few people doing resin tanks and resin dreadnoughts and stuff like that, because I just don't have the time to make them look as good as they should. And things. So
would you do like a resin, if someone sent you a resin Leviathan, would you give it a scrub, clip the bits off, and then post it back to them or something?
I do clean up for a couple of clients. I have done before on like heavy someone sent me a heavy weapons box, and I just clipped out everything and then cleaned it all up, put them into individual little baggies, and sent them
a little mold line removal service.
Basically a mold line and assembly removal service, yeah. So you can find me at mako_model_services on Instagram, and you can feel free to ping me a message and I'll get back to you. Backlog at the moment is about a 2-week wait, which I think is... It's going to carry on until the wedding, basically, because everything's on a bit of a slow. I've just finished and ready to post some jet bikes for a client, which were very fun to build, and immediately made me want to just do a bike stuff for my Blood Angels.
Fuck the car,
you're 20 episodes late.
Yeah, if that, maybe.
What would Mike and Josh say? They'd be fuming
and they are fuming, yeah. Every time that group chat goes off, they're like, Tom, when you get back on the White Scars? And I'm like, I do plan to, but not anytime soon.
Not at this lifetime.
About 5 years.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so... that's for the commissions. If you do want stuff built, I'd appreciate it, and we'll do you a fair price, and if we come to an agreement, that'd be great. So thanks for that. But in terms of my own personal hobby, I've built up 10 Mark VI Tactical Marines, spent some real care and attention on their airbrushing, and I physically can't get across to you, and I certainly can't in a photo, get across how nice the red is. I've taken my models to my local club to show a few people who are good painters down my club, to say like, look, this is what I'm painting, and they're all like, holy shit, this is a really nice red that you've got on these infantry models. I really hope you can translate that onto dreadnoughts and vehicles and stuff.
Did you speak to the professor about it, or did you just...
Who's the professor?
Ollie, of course.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time talking to Ollie. Obviously Ollie comes up with some ideas that I can't do or don't want to do.
Because he's crazy. Yeah.
Because he's a mad professor. You know, Ollie will wet blend oils on a model and stuff, like some Josh level shit to get contrast.
He will dry brush model, make it look like it's airbrushed, and it'll be like, just casually dry brush it up.
Yeah, and he does a lot more wet blending than he thinks. Not that he thinks that he does, but he does a lot more sort of blending on the model and glazing and stuff like that than... people give him credit for. You know, you look at sort of Rob Medwell's skin tones, and I think Rob Medwell pretty much does the perfect skin tone on a model now, like a head. I think
not disagree with that.
Yeah, they're perfect. And then you look at like Ollie's OSL from the scanners, and you think these are similar techniques, I guess, but they're mechanically and materialistically different things, and they have completely different like outcomes, but they're both so good. But they're both like, yeah, just do this in 10 minutes. And I'm like, no. I can't do that in 10 minutes.
Not for us painting mortals.
No. So for one of the benefits of the commission service is that sometimes when sometimes it's easier to just get paid in plastic toy soldiers. So if someone's ordering a bunch of stuff from Element to send to my house, I'll just say, listen, just bung on these kits. They're the kits I was going to buy anyway. You might as well just send them me to blah, blah, blah. So on one of the commissions, I've received a Predator, which is definitely going to be in my Blood Angels list, which the Blood Angels list was very quick for me to put together, which was very fun. Obviously, I harassed you lot for a couple of days about it. But the Day of Revelations list I've got and still got on my phone, I come back to every few days and look at it and think, no, there's nothing I want to change. it's perfect. It is literally the models that I want playing the way that I feel like I want to play. It will be fairly strong and I'm up for it. So the Predator, a Melter Predator, I got as payment for commission, built it and have started painting it. And it is going very slow because primarily because I've had so much 40K to do for a tournament next week for a local thing, which I committed to a long time ago. I am enjoying, but at this point would rather not do it so I could carry on playing some Blood Angels, painting some Blood Angels. But the Predator is going very slow. It's taken a long time to sort of decide where I want the black. I don't want them to look like Pete Davies models. Because Pete Davies are fantastic. They've got their own style, but I don't want someone to be like, did Pete Davies paint that? I don't want it to look like Stevie T, and I don't want it to look like, I want it to be mine. You know, when I painted the White Scars, I was very stylistic in the way that I put like the slash marks on the white and in the red. And people were, you know, I got a lot of feedback on that saying, oh, that looks quite different, but in a noticeably White Scarsy way. And I would like to do the same sort of thing with the Blood Angels, although maybe not as obvious. So I want to try to make it my own a little bit. So it took a long time of planning out where that was going. So I have been working on that diligently over the last 2 or 3 weeks, very slowly, making some decisions on it. Still don't know what I'm going to do about a track recipe, but I think I might have sussed it now. So when that's done, I'll throw up some pictures. And then Dan from Gator 3D Printing is going to sort me out for some bits and pieces from some Assault Marines. And a couple of character bits, which will get the next squad I want to get up and running, which will be my 15-man assault squad.
Oh, juicy.
Yeah, 15-man assault squad dropping with an apothecary in there as well, and a few toys in there, which I just think is going to just be so fucking Blood Angels and so hot that I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm really going to enjoy it. Yeah. That might take me a long time. But now that I know that I can, like I did at Attrition with the boyfriends, like I'm happy, as long as people are happy for me to do it, I'm happy to borrow someone else's army. And I'll tell you what, maybe a good point to come to another sort of a point that, you know, obviously borrowing people's armies relies a lot of trust and everything. So I hope, you know, I didn't damage any Pete King's models and everything, and he was great to use it. But it is awesome to just scratch itches. I had a word bearer's itch underlying for a long time. Pete's like, do you want to borrow my word bearers? Now I never want to play word bearers ever again. But rather than and drop pods, fuck those cunts. So rather than spend 500 quid of my own money doing it and building it and painting it and everything else, only for me to sell it a week later, I just borrow someone's. So that's awesome. So I like doing that. So I know I've got a few events coming up this year. I'll probably have to borrow events for them because I don't want to rush my Blood Angels. I'd like, after my wedding, when I get some more time and money back, money's the thing, right? So when I get some more time and money back, I'll be able to say, right, okay, a unit a month. And if it takes me a month to paint a Predator, and it takes me a month to paint 10 Tactical Marines or five, a couple of Command Squad guys or whatever, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to painting them and taking my time on them rather than bosh them out to be ready for X Attrition or Greetings event in X months, you know?
Perfect.
So that's me, boys. That's my hobby. I mean, the long and short of that is I've painted a fucking shitload of Imperial Guard.
Yeah. I think that sounds a perfect time for a little 5-minute break. Get a glass of water.
Yeah, then why don't we take a little break? We'll be back to talk about Orphan's Hope. And we're back. Seamless transition. Did you miss the little drum noise?
Why, hello, Jill.
Oh, I don't get that at all. What does that mean?
You're talking about Willis?
It's an Ainsley Harriet reference.
Oh.
Gaines, classic.
Yeah. Right, let's talk about the actual event that Will went to, which was Orphan's Hope. And it was in fucking Exeter, which is a fucking million miles away.
It's a long way away.
Part 3 of the series, which is Hut.
So why don't you give us a little bit of background to this, Will? Tell us, did you go to one?
Did not go to one, unfortunately.
But you went to
not.
Two.
Yeah.
So what was the rough sort of story setting outcome of two?
Right, so on the back of the first one, the traitors held Gotham's hope, which is very uncharacterful, but they held it hugely. It should was we, completely...
Should we come back to that conversation, Will, a bit later on?
Can do.
How it's uncharacteristic of the traitors, that one.
What a good idea. Yeah, so on the back of one, going into two, traitors were heads and toes ahead. Then going into the second one, the loyalists did a really good job of trying to take back some of the territories that the traitors held. And we pushed them back and we fought valiantly. But alas, we could not do it. And as a result, loyalists were put back, were pushed back to their fleet, which is where part three came into play, which was an entirely ZM based event, an entirely Zone Mortalis based event in the fleet in orbit above Orthanc's Hope. And it was the loyalists on the back foot yet again, because we pulled it back. I think we pulled it back to within about 10 points, I think. But still, it was not strong enough. So we then went back into part three on the defensive in the first round, which was pretty cool.
Yep.
So this is James's event series that he's been running down in Exeter, down at Union County Games, I think it's called. Nice event, nice location, really cool, except that it's 1,000 miles from all life.
Yeah.
Apart from that. Absolutely marvellous. So this was only four of us, or three of us went in the end. So Jason, myself, Harry all went. I think Ollie was going to come as well, but he was too busy
winning
every bowls tournament he's ever played, so he couldn't come in the end. John was also there as well, which is great. Lovely Askham from Old Heresy Hammer, he was there. So we had three podcasts there, which is pretty cool. And on the Friday, Jason, Harry and I went to the Tank Museum in Bovington.
Oh, lovely.
I really want to get involved for this.
Oi, so good. So that's good. I recommend
this, that's where all this bolt action shit has come from, isn't it?
It's definitely a contributing factor. Yeah. So, yeah, so that was the plan going into this. I think prior to this, about 2 weeks before the actual event, Siege of insert Sons of Horus homeworld name, those inserts was released.
Yep.
Which meant James had a little bit of problem because he'd written his mission pack based on the original second edition Zone Mortalis rules that were released in, I think it was, White Dwarf.
Yep.
Which was great, which was perfect, but a lot of people have built their lists to that kind of restriction guidelines. And he had like a little WhatsApp group for us all, and about 2 or 3 weeks before the event, when the Siege book was released, he put like a poll: what would players like to do? Would you like to play the original pack, or do you want me to make like a hybrid pack, you know what I mean, or do you just want to go full Siege of Sanothi or whatever it was? And what ended up happening was most people vote for, let's keep some of the original stuff from the original pack in, but let's play exactly. And this was actually really cool as well, because we actually, between us kind of as players, we played more and more of the rules.
Right.
So in the first game, when I played Ollie, we were just playing the mission pack, which was a bit hybrid, so it was a little bit confusing, but it was good. And then progressing as I played four games over the course of the weekend, leading to our last game, which Harry and I played, we were just playing the mission pack with all the extra rules from the new Zone Mortalis rules.
Right.
So it was really fun. It was really good. 1750. Each got a little character as well. So everyone had just put like a little kind of create your own character kind of restriction thing within it, which was really cool. So each of us had the ability to make like whatever character you kind of wanted, but within limits. So ended up just being really boring and buying him Cataphracti and a Thunderhammer. So
cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't really do much, but others did, like a knight errant or like a banisher, I think that was one as well, like a pseudo eso kind of terrorist stuff as well, eco terrorist, whatever it was. But really, really cool. 1750 museum rules, so with reinforcement points and all these things as well. And it was really cool building a list up to it as well. So Harry built an entirely, he 2 weeks prior to the event, he was like, cool, I'm gonna do a whole new army for this. Classic Harry. So he printed and painted an entire Iron Warriors army, which was
little bit of an amalgamation between first, or like the first Zone Mortalis rules and the new one. And I luckily had lots of veterans and some Morlocks, so I just, my list kind of slotted straight into it. Obviously, I wasn't going to take the Raven Guard because the rules changed and I didn't get to finish them. So I just bailed out of that, and I just took pure Iron Hands. So I had a Iron Father with a Thunderhammer in Cataphractic Terminator armor with 5 Morlocks, all with Power Fists and Grav Shredders or Grav Guns. Insert Grav Weapon of some form. And then I had 2 veteran squads, one with 10 pairs of Dual Lightning Claws, and the other one with 10 combi Volkite and a couple of power weapons. I think the sergeant had a Thunderhammer.
That new units for you, aren't they?
They are brand new spankers, mate. So they've been sitting on the shelf for a bit, and they were really, really fun to use. And then I had a little, I think I had like a 6-man recon team with shotguns, because I had some points left over to take like a third troop, essentially. So like a fourth scoring unit, which is pretty cool. The force orb that James put out originally was 2 compulsory troops, I think. So my 2 vet squads were my compulsories, which were line. Then when Harry and I played our last game, we played it with the new force org, so only one of them had line, which was pretty cool. And then I had 2 box dreads with dual plasma cannons, which were my dirty option, that actually were pretty trash, truthfully. They didn't actually do a lot in ZM, which was really good to hear. And that was it. Yeah, 17-15. All games over the course of the weekend. Same format as James has previously done. So you have like attackers and defenders. So what he did this time was he had 3 ships that we were like vying for control over. And like if you were an attacker, so if the loyalists were attacking, defenders would place down their characters first. Each one would place their warlord down on a board on a ship. And then you could like kind of work out like, oh, there's some Night Lords there. I fancy that. Let's go fight some Night Lords. So you'd put your character down to like match, which is really cool. And if you ever got, exactly. And if you ever got complete control of the ship, you got some in-game buffs. I think that only happened once or twice, which the loyalists managed to do, which was pretty cool.
Of course.
And then there were some minor in-game tweaks as well. Like something happened here, something happened there. It's quite cool as well. So some of the boards were pure custom made games level ZM boards. So you played with ceilings and you played with doors and you played with the quintessential classical thought of what ZM should be. And then the other ones were just really heavy urbanized, almost like, I don't know how to describe it, like, you know, in the Ventral Spirit, when they go down to, when Loken and the lads go down to the kind of like canteen area where all the non T4 mooks are, and it's essentially just like a little town within the Ventral Spirit. They were kind of like that. So there were 3 or 4 boards which were open, so you could draw line of sight across the board potentially, but you still had loads of terrain in the middle. There weren't ceilings, so like jump marines could use their jump packs, phalanx could use their jet packs, so on and so forth. But generally speaking, it was about, I think there were 7-3 on solid DM boards to hybrid boards, which actually meant it was really good. Some people, obviously, I think James had like 3 or 4 dropouts prior to the event because people had built lists in such a way that it just wouldn't work with the new system of Zone Mortalis. So he had 3 or 4 dropouts that were just like, nah, I think I'll be okay for whatever reason. I mean, the rest of us were all just rock hard for it and all committed to playing exactly as the new rules are intended, which was absolutely fabulous. It was really, really good. Yeah, so that was pretty much it. Any questions you want to ask?
Right. Well, sounds fucking hot.
Yeah, I want to know more about these tables, Will. Because I think if there's one thing that James has become famous for in the event scene is his terrain, right?
Tables. The kid loves tables.
He does, yeah. And I know that he had this whole you know, I have to build these tables to play this event, but at the same time, I can't build them all out of plastic. I can't make them all out of Necromunda tiles and, Necromunda ZM, because I don't have £1 million.
And I'm not a billionaire yet.
And I'm probably going to have to sell them after the event to recoup some of the losses, because otherwise I will be on a loss, right? So tell me more about the tables in that, with the ones that you played on, were they without, I'm not trying to dig them out at all, but were they all of a good standard? Were there some that were better than others? Were they all engagingly thought out? You know, sort of how was that compared to like a stock Forge World ZM table?
Yeah, so I don't think they were of the exact quality of a stock Forge World ZM table, mainly because it's quite a lot of work to find someone who's willing to sell you that many tables of 1x1 ZM squares or whatever, and build it in almost such a short time frame to that scale. So what James did...
And 1,500 quid a table?
I dread to think how much they probably...
For a ZM board.
Yeah, yeah. And even if you went to Games Workshop and you bought it all in plastic, kind of work to build that, let alone just buy it, would be a huge amount. So what James did was he actually went to essentially like a 3D printing service, and pretty much all those boards, all the walls and all the sections were 3D printed, I think, to a standard that was as good, if not better, than the Forge World ones or the Games Workshop ones, which was really good. So then he got
significantly less warping than the resin.
That was a huge problem, wasn't it, back in the day? So then he got 1 foot by 1 foot pre-cut timber tiles from B&Q or wherever, I imagine, and then he just glued them down in nice formations and interesting ways across all of them. He then sprayed them, painted them however he was, and he put some scatter rain down and some things to break up things as well. So I played on one of the boards I played on, which is my third game against Iron Warriors Sunday morning. It had like a big landing bay in the middle, so there was one of his I forget what it's called, the huge flyer for the militia that we
have. Fuck, the Marauder Bomber.
Correct, thank you, Giles. He had the Marauder Bomber, like in
said Marauder Bomber, various bombs on my militia several years ago, and it was devastating.
So hot, wasn't it? Yeah, so we had that in one of the landing bays, and then my second game, when I played Alex with his gorgeous Emperor's Children, there were a couple of Arbuses in that as well. So I think the boards are actually really good, considering John bought one to take home with him, as did Alex as well. So I think that says a lot about how good the quality was, because people were buying them for almost even seeing them in the flesh, being like, cool, yep, I'll give you X amount for that and I'll take it home with me. Really good. I think the one thing that maybe could have been improved was the wood or the sheet material that the terrain was put on. I think that was just sprayed a couple of colours, so it didn't have any texture or anything. So that's something that you could go back and do more on. So that's something that takes quite a lot of time to do. Like if you use whatever product you use, it's going to take a lot of it. It's quite a lot of time as well, on top of all the other variables as well. Mm-hmm. And obviously, James bites a lot out of the apple leading up to the event. He makes everything himself, pretty much. So everything's made for the event. It's a lot of work to do. So I think props to him for doing such an amazing work on all the boards, considering it was just 10 boards of ZM, or it was 7 solid boards of ZM that he'd knocked up in about 4 months.
It's a huge amount of work to do. I would not want to do that amount of work, you know. Like making my Necromunda table, which is a joy, it's one of the things I'm really proudest of in the whole of my hobby life, is my Necromunda table. But it's imagine doing 7 of them in 4 months. Like, I think it'd have killed me.
Crazy, isn't it? Yeah, crazy. But yeah, really, really good overall.
So, how did the event end in terms of future events going forward?
Yeah, so this is real well. So, I know. Would be so prior. Any of you know the answer? So prior to this, we obviously went to a week before, which is pretty cool, and James was there as well, and for whatever reason, he got James here, our lovely, lovely co-host.
and the pair of them were talking about City Fight,
which is pretty what a fucking book. City Fight, Seeds of Death. That's just so delicious. Tasty little morsels. So,
James got part four of Orphan's Hope coming up in, I want to say, September, October, but I'm not entirely sure, which will just be going back normal front line on some of the amazing custom boards that he's made. I unfortunately can't attend that for whatever reason. I think I've just got life happening or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I'm sure still tickets. So if anyone, you probably heard me rant and rave about these in the past, but if you have the chance to go to one of these events that James runs, I would thoroughly recommend doing it. The boards are great, the missions are fun, the atmosphere's lovely, he puts on a great spread as well. Exeter's, what was really nice about it as well, it was kind of like a little like holiday away. So, although there are only five of us that kind of went out Saturday night, myself, Jason, on Harry and Colin.
Love. I forgot amazing, Colin was lovely. There as well.
Colin.
What a guy.
It's a really nice kind of like... Oh, he's, I just love that guy, yeah. He was... the five of us just went out, nice food. We, you know, I mean, went to a bar, had some, like, had an apple tart each. It was lovely. It was just like a little weekend away, which was really good. So even if you could just go with like one or like two of you could probably do that as well. All the guys that play there that are fairly local are all lovely and friendly as well. So even if you went on your own, you'd just like slot straight in. And as well, if you get the chance, I thoroughly recommend it. It's a bit of a trek. Exeter is actually surprisingly quite far. I didn't realise that
until miles
I
was away.
Yeah. So when Colin gave Jason a lift home on the Sunday, which meant I drove home on my own. And when you're with someone driving along after an event is one of my favourite things about an event, because you just get...
Correct, 100%.
Chatting absolute cheddar.
Just get a debrief, which is so fun to do. But I was doing that on my own, so I was talking to myself, which pretty much just ended up me just talking about Iron Hands. Who'd have thought, right?
To yourself. That's the most Will thing I've ever heard.
Which was actually a bit soul-destroying, because it was so far to go as well. It was like, it took like 4.5 hours to get home, which was fucking crazy.
Ooh.
You could just get public transport there. I think if I went again, and I plan to go to the City Fight one, unless I can, like, drive with Ollie, or drive with you, Giles, or drive with you, Tom, like, to and from, I'd probably just either fly it or just get a train, because then you can just mong out to some Snow Patrol and just order four naans, which would be perfect. So.
Whenever me and Giles have done, I think I've probably travelled to more events with Giles than I've travelled to by myself or with other people combined. So, I sort of know...
Always that when, a fun road trip.
Yeah, I think so. And, we're always pretty hyped on the way up. We don't really talk a lot of Warhammer on the way up. And then on the way back, it's normally the first half of the journey is full of, I'm changing this about my list, or this was really good, or how nice was this painted, and you have like the thorough debrief, doing the voice notes for the boys on WhatsApp, and then the second half of the journey is usually one of us asleep. So
hopefully the passenger. Yeah.
More often than not, the passenger. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the main problem. I really wanted to go to this event. A few life things just popped up where it just meant I just wasn't able. It's such a busy time of year. I wasn't able to, but that's probably that and Actium are the two that I really sort of am gutted I have not been able to go to, because they've become vastly becoming benchmarks of events.
I think so as well. I think what the Heresy Hammer boys are doing, they're certainly up in the game, which I think there's a lot. I think James as well is really up in the game as well. Like doing like video briefings and putting all this extra work into it, I think it's going such a long way now that you almost have to put it in. But the more work you put in now, both of them are doing like video briefings, which I think says a lot. If granted, when Ben and I've forgotten his name, Pete.
Hey, fucking hell.
Really, have you done? Remember that?
I'm really hoping he doesn't listen to this.
Are quite quite close friend.
When they kind of set the benchmark for doing video briefings, there wasn't anyone else doing them. It's really nice to see that others are now doing it. And I don't think it's as hard as I think everyone kind of thought it was.
I think if you're going to do
background graphic design or whatever it is. So.
Yeah, I think if you're going to do ones like Ben animates, yeah, mortals like me, not a fucking chance. But you don't have to do that to do a video briefing. Like, you can get some artwork in and do some voiceovers, and like it's achievable.
Yeah, it's interesting as well, because actually none of us managed to get to Bo's event when he held his. We were on bloody Ian Stack, whatever it was. But apparently he did like video briefings as well, and he had some like voice actors that he managed to source, do some voice acting as well. So I think it's definitely becoming a bit of a thing that I think others should try. Give it a go, see if you like it, see if you can do it. And I think it's a good way to almost make your event a bit unique and a bit bespoke.
I think just the way that I am, right? When I do my event in October, I have not even thought about doing a video briefing. Not for the reasons that like it would be too technical, because I could get someone to do it or help me make it or whatever. I could get a screen and a projector. I just feel like my personality is more stand there and shout and swear and you know, tell everyone, you know, I'm going to be using that same, it's a bit better, but I'm going to be using the same sort of board with the Epic 3D printed models on it to denote sort of where we are and what we're doing. But just sort of be like, that's there, go and fight. You know, and that's
what you did at the last one, and it was great.
Yeah, I mean, that's more the style of my events. It's more, you know, because I'm only doing them for my friends and, you know, people who listen to the podcast, this most recent one. It's more a case of, here's a casual setting and blah, 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 blah. But that, you know, if you're wanting to be one of these really super narrative, could be a black book type events, then video briefings and things like that really are a cut above an event pack, because no one reads it.
Everyone
will sit through a minute and a half to 2 minute video.
Yeah, and they can forget it and they can not engage with it, and that's absolutely fine. But the chances are people will engage with it if you sit them down and say, oh, by the way, here's what we're goddamn doing. You know,
of course, this, you little shit cunt.
Yeah, pretty much like the Actium one. When we sat down in that school hall where you feel like you're in an assembly, you know, that was very engaging with Rob's, you know, Malkador level voice acting and stuff.
Oh yes, I'm very tired.
Yeah, very old. And you know, I enjoyed that quite a lot, but that was kind of like, oh, now I'm here, I get it. Whereas if he'd have just said, you know, here's the matchups, the fluffs in the event pack, which I've done before and a lot of people still do, some people will read it and get really hyped for it, but I will just ignore it and move on, you know. So you need stuff out there for everyone, which luckily there is, because we're so goddamn busy.
Yeah, the events just seem to be just popping off at every second. I think this month I'm really quiet, which I'm really thankful for. I don't really have any events on this month. I've mainly just got like hangouts with the boys and so on and so forth, you know what I mean, which is great. Next month and October, just like, wait, that's wrong. August and September and October are just like three events each month back to back. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be, it's going to be carnage.
Well, October and November are just the worst. I think you're fucked.
You're fat, mate.
You're fat, mate, yeah.
I'll have the Emperor's Children hopefully by then, and then and the Raven God will be finished, and it'll be great. It'll be perfect,
Well, I mean, if so, with your list that you took to this Orphan's Hope event, Will, how did you feel playing that when you knew you had other forces in the wings?
This was actually really, really cool to play. So, imagine most people now understand what the new ZM kind of is.
Yeah.
So, we were playing with reinforcement points. And for those that have not had a chance to experience how the reinforcement points work, essentially, unit types are now allocated a value of points depending what they are. So if you're an HQ unit, you are 4 reinforcement points. If you are a troop, you are 1. If you're an elite, you're 2. If you're a fast tech, you're 2. A heavy support, you're 3. If you're a Primarch, you're 8. And then you build your list to the points limit, so 1750 or whatever it is. And then before the game starts, you are assigned 6 reinforcement points. And what you do is you use those reinforcement points and the values of your units to then deploy those units onto the board before the game starts. There are some ways to kind of mitigate it a bit. So if you deploy your Warlord, which is really cool, he is half the amount of command points that he reinforcement points that he is usually.
Yeah.
So he's only 2 to deploy. So it incentivizes you a lot more to deploy your Warlord, which I think is great. And then from there, you then roll off to see who goes first, you start playing the mission and stuff, and then you can use more. So that at the end of each of your turns, player turns, you gain 2 more reinforcement points, and you can use these to bring units onto the board. So so you've got a troop that you couldn't deploy because of the amount of reinforcement points that your army was in total, it exceeded the 6. You could then use one of those newly acquired reinforcement points to then bring that unit onto the board. You can then spend extra points to bring them on into different areas of the battlefield. So you could you can use 1 reinforcement point extra to outflank the unit,
yeah,
which is really cool, or 3 to come on from your opponent's deployment zone, which is massive. There are some ways
that must be crazy.
Which is absolutely loco. So there are some ways to like reduce the cost of these as well. So if your unit has deep strike, it costs 1 less reinforcement point to bring on. So if you have a Terminator squad in Pride of the Legion, which are then a troop, and you are a Night Lord, shall we say, because you can buy them deep strike, I think, it wouldn't cost you any points to bring onto the board because they'd be 1 reinforcement point to bring on. Having deep strike would then reduce that to 0.
Right.
So then you can do some cool things that can save up reinforcement points, knowing that in turn 3 or 4 you could bring a unit on from your enemy's deployment zone. Do you know what I mean? Which is really cool. Which actually adds a lot of strategy to the game. Generally speaking, I think ZM can be quite battle liney.
Yeah. Because it's cheap.
Because you kind of got 2 or 3 kind of engagement fronts fighting through the like corridors and stuff. Means you can kind of sit and just battle it out with waves of enemy units. And then it will take 3 or 4 turns or whatever to actually like clear the blockage and then push through. But this now means you can bring units on in like completely different areas, which would completely shake up how it plays, which I think is great as well. When you come on from these reserves, it counts as coming on from reserve. So although you're kind of outflanking, you're actually not outflanking. It's not an outflank assault. So you can't charge, which I think is really cool. So you have to think about coming onto the board, waiting a turn. Maybe shooting units coming on are actually quite good because you can come on, shoot, and then next turn start playing forward. Advanced reactions are now used in ZM. So obviously Interceptor works, as well as Legion-specific ones, which are pretty cool. But I think one of the best changes in it is doors. So doors now have 6 hull points, which when I...
6?
6!
That's insane, Jerry.
So when Harry told me this, I was like, well, that just sounds dumb. But it's 6 hull points, armor 10, and penetrating hits do D3 hull points.
So in the old version, it was what? 1 hull point of 12?
Yeah, well, 12, I think it was, yeah. So it kind of...
So now you can run up to it with some crack grenades and your attack squad will blow it because they hit automatically. If you pen, you're doing D3 and you're penning on 5 or 6.
Yeah, exactly. So okay. It kind of rewards weight of attacks over a single melter bomb, which was always the problem back in the day when it was like armor 13.
It's easy to get wedged.
Exactly. So I think that's really good. It makes you actually have to think about how you blow open doors as well. Some of the missions start with the doors locked or open. Also, they aren't Star Trek doors anymore. So you can't walk 3 inches up to it. It opens and then walk another 3 inches forward. Walk up to it, finish your movement, and then open the door, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So that changes that weirdly changes quite a lot how you play.
Yep.
And then one of the other ones as well is objectives have changed completely in Zone Mortalis now as well. So classically, and in all frontline games, it's 3 inches. If you're within 3 inches, you can contest it or score it. Zone Mortalis is base to base, which is massive. So if you've got a stubborn 10 unit of Immortals who get Heart of the Legion when they're on an objective, you have to kill essentially every single Immortal to get to that objective, to actually stop them scoring it. You can have a unit on the objective locked in combat, and as long as the enemy hasn't touched it to deny it, they are still scoring it, which I think is absolutely great in a nice, tight, confined board. I think in frontline it wouldn't work. I just play the 3 inches how it goes, but I think in ZM it's a really nice, nuanced way to actually play objective as well, which is absolutely brilliant. The list I took as well was, it actually turned out pretty good.
So I'm intrigued to hear about the two vet squads and how they got on.
So this is my one gripe with Zone Mortalis, in that it's very one-dimensional to play, I think, now. So any... and then secondary objectives in the missions now, or if you kill an HQ or an elite unit, you get an extra point. If you kill characters and challenges, you get an extra point as well. So the problem now that I think is, kind of have to take the Marshal of the Legion, because you can then take a retinue, which means that unit only drops, only deploys for 2 reinforcement points. So generally speaking, everyone will be running a Praetor or a Delegatus with a command squad of some form. It might be Legion specific, so
because it's effectively saving you 2 RPs. Is that right?
Two or three RPs, which is crazy to think. Which is then a bit of a problem, because everyone's going to have their unique custom command squads. Do you know what I mean? Which is cool, because it means we get to see more of them. But if you're playing Iron Hands, they're going to have an Iron Father, and they're going to have Warlocks. If you play Salamanders, it's going to be a battle-hardened Praetor with Fire Drakes. If you play Ultramarines, it's going to be a Mantrals of Ultramar Praetor with Suzerain. So I like that, but also not entirely sold on it. And then the other thing as well is, it kind of almost forces you directly, but insinuates that you should be running some sort of Rite of War, which takes elite units out of the elite slot and makes them troops.
Yeah.
So
because RPs are so valuable,
because reinforcement points are now a thing, it makes those units compulsory troops, which is huge, and it reduces their reinforcement points. And as well, don't give up kill points for when that unit dies. If you took just a normal Terminator squad as an elite unit, you killed that, you get extra VP because of secondaries. But if you take Pride of the Legion, they then just become troops.
Yeah, it's tricky.
So a little bit of that. Yeah, so what I think's really cool about that, though, is it makes legions that you don't really see too much in frontline super viable, because it works a lot more. So like Sons of Horus with Black Reaving, it makes all your Reavers troops and gives them line. Perfect. ZM, that is the one. Do you know what I mean?
Great,
if you're running Covenant of Fire, your Fire Drakes become the command squad. Perfect. And then all your Pyroclasts become troops, which is absolutely amazing. If you're on Guard of the Crimson King, all your Sekhmet just become troops, which is absolutely amazing. So I think that aspect's really, really cool, and it means how you build your list is completely different. But it then just defects back to just take Pride of the Legion.
Yeah, because I think if I was going to do that, you know, I've already spoken about it with a few people, you know, Bernie and that. Yeah. If I was going to do Zone Mortalis, I would just take, I think it's Day of Sorrows, and just take Crimson Paladins, because
as compulsory troops.
Why would I not just take Crimson Paladins? Exactly.
So, which is cool, because generally speaking, most of those Rite of Wars you don't really see that much in front line.
You do,
which is great, because you'll see more of them being used, which I think is fabulous. Fabulous. At the same time, it does annoy me a bit, because everyone's just going to be running Vets and Terminators as their troops, which is great, but also a bit annoying at the same time, because it kind of builds those mono builds, I think.
Well, you're still like, limited by the actual point system. So you can take troops and vets. Sorry, you can take Terminators as troops and all the rest of it. But they still might not be as efficient, and they're certainly not as cheap as regular troops choices.
True. So
you can it does mean you can flex that currency somewhere else.
It's very interesting you said that as well, actually, because Colin was talking to us about something that he read and kind of came up with on Saturday night. Mm. That what you could actually do is you and I, Tom, we could each bring 10,000 points.
Yeah.
We could have 10,000 points of my Iron Hands and your Blood Angels on each side of the table. We just use reinforcement points to deploy our armies.
Yeah, yeah.
So, because you're never going to be able to bring all 10,000 points on, if you play with reinforcement points, you can bring things on as and when you need them, which I think is a really potentially fun way to play. And I think if you're doing like a campaign or like a narrative where it doesn't really matter who wins or loses, that'd be a sick way to play.
Yeah, 3k of ZM with what, 13 RPs, is that the most you can get in a game?
Yeah, I think there are some missions where if you hold a critical objective, you get an extra reinforcement point.
Okay.
You could like tie that in however you want. You could just write like your own custom one. But you can never bring all 3,000 points on, of course. You could then be like, oh, fucking hell, what? That flank's falling pretty savagely. I need to save up some points and turn 4. I'll bring a Leviathan on or something. Do you know what I mean?
This area needs some heavy flamers.
The heavy flamer. So there's some really cool ways to play in it as well. What's also really nice as well is like Iron Hands, I think, are like 4 or 5. If you were going to do Legion placings, I'd say they're up there with some of the best legions in the game.
ZM, I'm sure we would all agree.
Yeah, exactly. But I think in ZM, they're just middle of the line because their legion rule doesn't get any benefit really in the game because shooting's so much less, combat so much more. Like Sons of Horus, I think, are, because of the weird wording and yada yada yada, I don't think they're that good in frontline. But in ZM, when you've got lots of Terminators that are troops with Power Fists, they don't get instant killed in the first round of combat because you can't take away their Legion rule, because you can't disorder, because there isn't the reaction.
That's not a ZM reaction.
So suddenly, Reavers.
The cogs turning in Giles' head there.
So, like, although Reavers won't have, like, 10 Power Fists in them, they have, like, a couple of Power Fists and loads of Chain Axes or whatever, they can charge a unit of just normal, like, weapon skill 4 basic bitch Terminators. And can really put the pain in, and they can really, yeah, they can really fucking savage them. Because this is what I found with my vet squads. They're great. Like, the Lightning Claw guys, when they charge, about, like, 50 attacks on the charge or whatever it is, which is savage as fuck. If you don't do enough damage to the Terminators, they've all got Power Fists, so that they just, doesn't matter if you've got 2 wounds, all it does is take 3 or 4 hits, and they've won combat, because they've killed more than you have, do you know what I mean? And because of the prevalence of AP2 in combat in the second edition now as well, vets not having a save doesn't make them... They're still really good, I think, but they're not as good as, I think, just normal Terminators, personally. But saying that, I like using vets, so I don't really want to use, like, normal Terminators in my Iron Hands. I think this is a real good excuse to build units that you wouldn't usually use and try them out, because they're so much more viable in Zomortalis. Overall, I think it's great. I think it's a really fun game. I've only played 6 games so far, so I think I need to play 4 more to really pass judgment on it. I'm not entirely sold on it yet, but I think it's really, really fun. I think it's a really good addition, what they've done. I love the idea of the legions that aren't as good as some of the others being better in Zomortalis. I think that's chef's kiss. Like Sons of Horus, I think, are off the chain.
I think you mean chef's tits.
I think it's great. Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Thank you very much, James, for putting it on, for putting all that hard work that you put into it. Thank you to everyone that was there that I played as well. So I played Ollie, I played Alex, I can't remember the third guy's name. He was so lovely. I think he got my favourite game vote. He had 10 Dominators in ZM. Those pictures are crazy. They're crazy. Wow. Yeah.
Hat.
Yeah, and then I played Harry last game as well, which was always a lovely time. So, great times all round. Emerald Talus is really, really fun. I definitely recommend people giving it a go if they can. I think you can even use reinforcement points in front line. I think if you adapted it a bit, it could even work in front line as well, which would be really cool. So,
okay, interesting.
Overall, 8 out of 10 megas, which is high, which is good.
Nice. That's a good score. That's a great score.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very impressive.
Anyway, it could be higher, so there were more Iron Hands, which is perfect. So.
Oh dear.
What never ends, eh?
No, well, hopefully it does when fucking Emperor's Children or Raven Guard or whatever are out. Might be worth shooting you then.
Just take me out to the cattle shed and just put it in the back of my brain.
Yeah, basically. Like
just leave you in like a caged box with five hungry whippets and just come back and. Yeah. Where's Will? It's just some teeth in the corner.
True. And if you kill me in combat, you'll do it a lot more efficiency because you won't get the minus one strength. So.
Terrible. It's the worst. So, no attendance for the City Fight event for you, Will, which is a shame.
Oh, no. A City Fight will be March next year. I think if you go in the Merchant Princelings Discord and you go in the... one of the tabs, I forget which one is specifically. James,
I think it's the helpful resources tab.
In the helpful resources pad, James actually put up a first or second draft copy of the City Fight mission pack that we're going to be playing in, but that's going to be next year. I think he said it's going to be March next year.
Oh, so I might be able to get to that one. Shit.
Keep your little eyes
out. As I feel a tiny bit responsible, like I'm going to have to find someone to share a 4.5-hour drive with, I think.
That sounds like it might be me.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to scoop Tom into the passenger seat, and then it won't feel like I'm driving to the end of the earth.
Sounds like a classic Tom Giles get-together. Perfect.
It does, doesn't it?
meeting you in some fucking dodgy pub called the Dog's Dick or something and...
Yeah, ditch the car for the weekend and hope it's still there when we get back.
Yeah, that sort of thing, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Although I've got bad memories of going to, not of going to, but of Exeter, because when I was a younger man, I had a girlfriend who she went to Exeter for the spring break type thing, and she cheated on me with a River Island model.
Oh my god, what?
Oh wow.
Yeah. I mean, you're not supposed to be
impressed. Well, I wasn't expecting that.
So Exeter, you know, I need to go there and fucking phosphex it.
Replace those with happy memories.
Replace those with happy memories of this will be, you know, a City Fight event where I can use Baal Predators.
And yes, maybe like some Angel's Tears of assault cannons just blasting down streets.
Just blasting.
Blast!
Yeah, it's funny because I just did some Angel's Tears commissions recently. They're a bit delayed in being shipped out because of some confusion. But the guy was like, yeah, build them all with assault cannons. And I was like, oh, fantastic. I'll build them all with assault cannons. And then he didn't realise that like the models come with just the Volkite pistol arms. So I was like, no, I actually need plastic arms. Otherwise, these guys are just
dead. Won't work.
They won't work. They won't glue together. Now I want a Baal Predator. Saying they're absolutely terrible. Like just
they're like 1,000 points.
Yeah, they're like 1,000 points for an objectively worse tank.
Which is baby back bullshit, mate. Sort of. But also really hot.
So just to wind up on the podcast episode because my children are being rude. So it's time for me to go up there and knife them all.
such an Eastbourne upbringing.
A couple of things I wanted to talk to you about were the reveals from the from the stream recently. So the most recent one was not 40k, and it was anything else but. We got some heresy, and there were lots of people spreading malicious rumours that we were going to see Khan on a bike, we were going to see Demon Fulgrim.
Tom, one of those people was you.
Yeah, because I was told. And then it was all bullshit, because what we saw was the very obvious other weapon choices for the Lancer. So,
is that what it was, wasn't it? Yeah, it was just plastic knights. Yeah,
plastic knights. So we now know that, well, hopefully it's that one kit, because if it's not, it's fucking retarded. But hopefully we're getting the Castigator and another one.
Acheron.
The Acheron, yeah, are coming as part of the launch windows for that plastic. I don't know why they couldn't show that when they showed the Lancer. But
so it's only swapping one sprue out, isn't it? Let's be honest. But a plastic, which makes them easy to get, and castigators are fucking hectic in 2.0.
Yeah.
If you run them down a flank so they don't get pinched from multiple angles.
And Acherons are one of the hottest Imperial Knights ever made. Pardon the pun.
Oh, yeah. Bit shit, but totally rad.
But they're not a Majera, are they? Nothing's as cool as a Majera.
Really? Is it that cool?
Of course it is.
Nah.
Sounds good.
That.
What?
One of the worst ones.
One of the worst ones?
Yeah, fucking embarrassing.
What's embarrassing? What are you talking about?
What are you talking about, bud?
You've had a tripper snipper, mate. You have. What do you mean the worst one?
Is that a tripper snipper?
No, they're just so underwhelming, aren't they? Like, everything about them's a bit, like, it's just...
What, the look? Not Sarastis, is it? Oh, grow up.
I was just about to grow up, Charles.
No, they're inferior.
You're inferior. I've given lots of girls orgasms.
I actually think that the normal... What do you call it, the normal chassis?
The plastic.
The what, sorry? Questoris.
No,
the Questoris chassis is better than the Sarastis chassis.
What?
Yeah.
You've had a triple snipper, mate.
Nah.
You're off your fucking tits, son.
Nah, they look too fucking lanky. Who made that?
The plastic ones don't fucking stand upright. They're too busy in a semi-squat. The knees bent outwards. All right, fucking pathetic, mate.
Nah.
Tom, send me some of that triple snipper and I'll finish it off for you.
Get me off of this podcast.
How do you think I'm going to get the kids to sleep?
Oh my god, can you imagine? Big Les would be so proud.
He would, yeah. It's all that my TikTok is.
It's just Big Les.
It's just Big Les. And then every now and again there'll be an annoying as fuck video where it's just a tumour screaming. And it's like, you swipe a video down, it's just like, have a tumour. And I'm like, okay, now I don't have any ears. boys, it's been lovely to talk to you this evening. It's been a bit of a catch-up episode. It's been a bit of a get back in the hot seat episode, which they're always like, the most fun because we just chat rubbish.
Do you have any plans for next week? Should we do anything specifically? Why don't people send us some pipe dreams this week? We haven't done a pipe dream in a while.
Well, I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to get Cy Davis on.
Does require him being up for it, though.
He has just messaged me in the last 3 or 4 minutes to say, tell Will it was lovely to give him a cuddle last week.
What? I was blessed to see Si. Yeah. I was just...
Do you know what? You know how, like, this is a bit homosexual, right? But this
nothing wrong with that, mate.
But the heresy is, all of it is, right? We all later...
It's all a bit bromosexual, isn't it?
It is. So, you know how we have some very sexy men in Heresy, right?
Right.
We've got your Pete Dunnes, we've got your Rob Medwellses, we've got your Gileses, you know, Colin, you know, just some sexy dad types, you know.
Yeah, he's got a really sexy brain, that guy. Oh, very interesting. Man,
like he's my first true love. But then you've got people who are like Ollie Mew, right? Who are just, they're just so delicious, right? Cy Davis is one of those. Forget how bloody lovely he is. He's such a
dreamboat.
He's just such a dreamboat, yeah. And he can paint really well. He's smashing out those Dark Angels at the moment. Can't believe
he's bought a sick new printer.
Yeah, he's got a sick printer. He's ready to go. I think he's looking to go to more events. I'm going to see if he wants to come and be the ringer at mine.
Good lad, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a lot for him to do the one days, but the last time he came down to Eastbourne, He could only do the one day because he couldn't do the drive to, you know, from, because I think his missus was pregnant at the time. So it might suit him this time around. As normal, folks, as you're listening to this, don't forget to check out other Heresy content that, like, you know, you have to pay for. Heresy Hammer, Lost Legions, Eye of Horus, Imperial Truth, and so on.
Yeah. Shout out to Greg, by the way. I hope you're feeling better soon.
Well, this was my next thing. So, shout out to Greg Dan, who's been very poorly recently.
And further, like an absolute champ.
Yeah, and you know, big respect to his family, who have looked after him through quite a lot. And the same is extended to Tonka, who has not been the wellest of bunnies.
Well, I know something, though, that we need to hold Tonka accountable for, and that is the fact that he's wasted at least 3 hours of my week this the beginning of this week that I should have been painting, and I was playing Fallout 4, and it's Tonka's fucking fault. So, because we had a brief chat about Fallout, and then I had a similar chat with Avery, and I'm like, I need to fucking play it.
Avery's a beast for those sorts of games. He fucking loves it.
So him and Matt.
Avery is also Avery is also the new owner and recipient thereof of the Iron Keshik.
Is it?
Yeah, boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, hey.
Now they're going to get some games in. They're going to do the fucking work against Silas. They kick Silas' dick off.
If anyone deserves their dick being kicked in, Silas.
Exactly. Uncle Albert. Nah, but Silas, smash it. Mash it. That's all I want
to
say.
Well, Silas did reach out to when I went, like, because I haven't been chatting on the group chat for a few days because life has been kicking me in the urethra constantly. Silas reached out and he was like, dude, are you okay? What do you need? Are you all right? I was like, dude, I'm absolutely fine, but I appreciate the check-in so much. So they're just top geezers, aren't they? All of them.
Yeah. Right. Talk to me.
It is.
We've been too nice to them, though. So fuck this. I'm out. See you later. Thanks for listening. Go and buy stuff from Element Games through our kickback link. Bye.